Well, if you are here week by week at St. John's, you'll know that we're actually following a bit of teaching that Jesus gives, like literally the last night before he goes to the cross. So this is like Jesus' sort of last will and testimony that he's giving to his disciples. And he's teaching us about what he wants the church to be. He's going to go, he's going to die on the cross, he's going to bring the church into being. He's like, this is what I want it to be. Now, I guess probably most people in this room have some opinion about what the church should be doing, all right? Maybe some of you are thinking, you know what, church shouldn't be doing anything, it shouldn't even be here. And maybe some of you got ideas about the church should be, I don't know, helping the poor. Or the church should be there for when we need somebody to christen babies or marry us or bury us. You know, all these ideas that we've got about what the church should be doing. Now, here's the thing, right? I'm a vicar. And my thing is, what we need to do is we need to listen to Jesus. All right? We've all got our opinions. Fair enough. But actually, what we want to do is we want to listen to Jesus' opinion. What does he think? It's his church. Right? It's his church. What does he think the church should be about? And he's got this incredible idea that the church is the place where people can come and meet with the reality of God. Where people can come and encounter and confront the truth about who God is and meet him and experience the reality of his presence. Now, for most of us, talking about God is something that we do at a fairly philosophical level. You know, we might have a conversation about whether we think there is a God or not. We might have a conversation about, well, you know, if there is a God, what's he like? Or what's she like? Or what's it like? And if there's a God, why is the world in such a mess? We ask those kinds of questions. Let me tell you something, though. It's much harder to reduce God to a philosophical discussion when you've just met him, when you've just encountered the reality of his presence, when you've just confronted the truth about who God really is. And that's what Jesus wants to be going on in the church. He's like, people should be able to come to church and they should confront the reality of who God is. Now, here's what happens. We get this idea. We're listening. We're going, okay, we've got that. Right. We are going to sort ourselves out. That's what we're going to be. And this is what we do all the time, okay? All the time we hear what God wants and we think, right, we need to do that. We need to be the kind of people God wants us to be. We need to roll our sleeves up. We need to get stuck in. And we need to start really trying to be what God wants. God wants us to be good people. God wants us to be like him. Right, we've got to do that. We've got to sort that out. And this is what it's like. It's like taking some fruit. I'm taping it onto a vine. Well, it's not a vine, it's a fig tree, but it's the closest I could get at short notice. All right, and going, there we go. Look at that. All right, we heard the reading earlier on about being fruitful vines and stuff like that, didn't we? Well, here we are. Look at us. We're being like what Jesus wants us to be. We're like, here it is. Here's a vine. Here's some fruit on it. There we go. That does the job. Brilliant, fruitful vine, that's us. There you go, we've done what God called us to do. Of course, if you were listening carefully to the reading, you'll realize that that's not what Jesus has got in mind at all. Jesus is like, the problem with that vine is there's no life in it. There's no roots. That's not what Jesus is after at all. What Jesus is saying is, and you heard it when it was being read to us by Nick or by Ed earlier on. He wants us, he's like, I'm the living vine. Okay? It's not that you need to go and try to stick fruit on a vine somewhere else. You need to come to me. You need to be grafted into me so that my life is coursing through the veins of the church. And when it's grafted into something that's living, the fruit will come in its own accord in its right season. The important thing is you're grafted into the life of Jesus. You're grafted into an actual living vine, the true vine that is Jesus. Now, here's the problem, all right, is that we're all kind of like dead sticks that are kind of twisted and gnarled up and crooked. We're a mess. So you bring us all together, okay, and you graft us all into a vine, into one tree, even a living tree, and what you get is something that looks like a complete mess, okay? Something that just looks like a complete mess. We can have the slide up for that. All right, just it's overgrown. There's no shape to it. It doesn't look like anything. And you think, okay, fair enough. But actually, Jesus has said that what he wants for the church is he wants people to be able to come to the church and see what God is like. All right? If we're just a complete mess and people come and they just look and it's like, this is a mess. All right? It's like, that's not what we want to really convey about the reality of who God is. All right? So what Jesus is saying is like, what's going to happen? Well, Jesus says his Father, the living God, is like this gardener. He comes along, he rolls up his sleeves, he puts on his gardening gloves. There we go, you can tell I've done this before. Seriously, man. 15 years in London and I'm doing this. All right. And he picks up his secateurs. And did you hear that actually the Father is like a gardener who goes to work on this mess of a vine where everybody's just been grafted in, it's complete chaos and it's overgrown and there's weeds and there's stuff growing in the wrong way and stuff. And the Father is going to come along with the secateurs. I'm impressed I knew what these were. All right. With the secateurs, and he's going to craft us and sculpt us and shape us so that we look like the reality of who God is. So people can look at us and they can see that's what God's like. Now, I don't know if you've seen this, right? There are some people who clearly have far too much time on their hands, all right? And they don't just trim their hedge, all right? Have you seen it? They, like, sculpt their hedge. Right? Here's a picture of somebody doing this, all right? It's a hedge, all right? He's turning this into a line of elephants, all right? Now, it's very artistic, all right? But that's what he's doing. He's got his shears and his secateurs and his hedge cutters and stuff. And he's taking this hedge and he's shaping it into a line of elephants. Here's another one. I like this one, actually. This is good. All right? Isn't that amazing? All right? This person's actually planted different plants and bushes and grafted them into each other so that they grow in different colors. So that when he crafts it, it actually looks like a lion with the mane and everything. All right? Here's one of my favorites, though. Look at this. Seriously, I'm telling you, if I could do that, that's almost enough to make me want to take up gardening right there. Seriously, if I could craft a garden into a Formula One pit stop, that would be amazing. All right, but as we're looking at these pictures, we're getting an idea of what it is that the Father is doing. All right, he wants us to look like him, to be like him, so that people can come to the church and see the reality of who God is. All right, now, some of us might need a little bit more work than others. Okay? There we go, well done, we're there. Brilliant. The frightening thing is, I can completely understand how he thought that was a good idea. I totally get that. All right, but all of us, we're going to have the next slide up, all of us, we need the Father to come to us as individuals and as a church to shape us so that we actually look like the God that we represent in the world. So the people look at us as individuals and they look at us as a church and they begin to understand what God is like. They begin to understand what God looks like, how he treats people, because they're watching us and we've been shaped. And so we are behaving like God. And people come to us and they see who God is and they confront the reality of the presence of the living God. Now, it's in the middle of all of this that Jesus suddenly says something about prayer. I wonder if you heard it. or saw it when it was being put up on the screen. Because it's an incredible statement. And it's a statement that most of us probably think isn't true. It's John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus said this. He said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you," listen to this, "you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." You can ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now, why does Jesus tell us that right here? Well, he's telling us it because here we are talking about being changed. And the chances are that most of us sit back and think, well, that's all well and good, but you don't know me. Right? You don't know what I'm like. You don't know how set my character is. There is stuff that I have been struggling with for years, and I've never been able to beat it. There are things in my life that don't look like God, that will get in the road of people getting a clear vision of who God is. And I have struggled with it and struggled with it. And you know what? After 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I can tell you, this is who I am. This is who I've always been. This is who I'm always going to be. And nothing is going to change it. And Jesus says, you're wrong. He says, you're wrong. Because the Father, the living God himself, will come and cut out. So yes, it will be painful, but through our repentance, he will change us. He will change who we are. He will change what we look like. He will change how we treat people so that we are becoming more like God. We treat people more like the way God treats people. We think more like the way God thinks. We feel more like the way God feels. We react to people more like the way God reacts to people. Now, most of us, we're still sitting and we're feeling cynical because most of us have had the experience. No, go on. All of us have had the experience where we've prayed and nothing's happened. Sometimes we have prayed about things that are really important to us, things that really matter, people we really care for, and God has not come free. And so we hear Jesus saying, ask whatever you want, and I'll do it. And deep down inside, or maybe not so deep down, there's a part of us thinking, well, hang on a minute, Jesus. I have asked you for stuff. Stuff that was important. Stuff that really mattered, and you didn't do it. Now, how are we to make sense of that? Okay, we've got a couple of minutes. Let's start with this, all right? Here is, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Here is the way most of us think about prayer. Ching. All right? I call this Genie Jesus, all right? Just because it kind of has a nice ring to it. Genie Jesus, all right? You see, we hear this stuff about, okay, we can pray and God's going to answer our prayers, and that's great. And so we think, great, here's this great big God. He's like this big genie, and when I need something, I can come along and I rub the lamp, I pray, and the genie's going to give me all my wishes, and everything I want is going to come true. Let me tell you something, all right? This is completely the wrong way of thinking about prayer. Completely the wrong way of prayer is not given to people who are going to come to God with a long list of the things that are important to them. Right? Prayer is not about me coming with my agenda, my hopes, my dreams, my aspirations, my vision for the way my life should be, so that I can get God to make my life the way, with my brilliance and my insight, I've decided I think would be best. That's not what prayer is about, trying to get God to do our will, trying to get God to make our kingdom come, trying to get God to make our name great. All right? Think about when Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to be saying in a few minutes. Who is prayer for? Prayer is for people who have laid down their own agendas, who have laid down their own opinions about what's important and what they think their life should be like. Prayer is for people who have learned to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," not mine. "Your will be done," not mine. "Your kingdom come," not mine. You see, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, if they live in you, if they shape you, if you listen and live with my words so that you discern what God's will is, then when you come to pray, you're not someone saying, "Okay, Lord, here's all the things that I think is really important. This is what I think I should be like. This is what I think our church should be like." We're coming and we're going, "No, I've listened to Jesus. And I know what your vision is for this church. And I know what your vision is for what I should be like. And I know what you want to do. And that's what I'm going to pray about." Prayer is not, "Come on, genie, do what I want." Prayer is a tool that God has given us to bring his vision for our lives and his vision for the life of our church into the reality of our experience. That's what prayer is. Now, here's my fear as a vicar here. Here's my fear that we understand this. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been wrestling with some of what Jesus has had to say about what he wants the church to be like and what he wants us to be like. And he's come and he said to us a couple of times now, he said, "Listen, whatever you pray against this agenda, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to make this the reality of your experience. This isn't just going to be something you're going to talk about or understand or be able to explain to other people. This is something that I want to be the reality of your experience." And my fear is that we get to understand it and read it and wrestle with it and talk about it, but we never experience the reality of it. That we talk about being a place that looks like God, where people can come and confront the reality of who God is. We talk about being a place where people will come and meet with God and encounter the reality of God's presence. That we talk about being people who are changed to reflect more faithfully and accurately the reality of who Jesus is. We understand it all, we talk about it all, but it never becomes the reality of our experience as individuals or as a church. And if we fall into that trap, we have missed the point of everything that Jesus is teaching us. Because he didn't die on the cross to win for himself, to bring into being a church that talked about these things. He died on the cross to bring into reality a church that lived and knew the reality of these truths in the experience of the reality of their everyday lives. And it seems to me that for us, the key into this is learning to experience the truth about what Jesus teaches us about prayer. Because he's telling us it is prayer. Prayer is the tool that you bring this vision of God into the reality of your experience. So I'm going to tell you two things that are going to happen. One, we're going to finish this series of following Jesus' teaching through to John chapter 17. Then we're going to have Christmas. After Christmas, we're coming back and we are going to have a long, hard look at what the Bible teaches about prayer. And we're going to ask the hard questions about why is it that so often we pray and God doesn't answer? Why is it that so often it seems like God doesn't listen? Why is it that so often when we pray, we don't know what to pray or how to pray? Why is it that so often when we do go to a prayer meeting, it's one of the most dull and boring and lifeless experiences of our whole life, where we just sit with this awkward silence because nobody really seems to know what's going on. Nobody seems to know what to pray or how to pray unless we've got something written down in front of us. Why are we like that? We're going to ask those questions and we're going to wrestle through what does the Bible teach us about the Christian's experience of prayer. That's one thing we're going to do. But the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to learn how to do this. All right, we are going to learn how to pray in a way that reflects what Jesus said this morning. All right? And we learn that not just by listening to sermons or reading books. We learn to pray like we learn to walk. We get up and we do it. And yes, we're going to fall. And yes, we're going to wipe out spectacularly on the way. But we are going to learn to pray. We are going to vindicate Jesus' words and show that what Jesus teaches us about prayer is truth and is reality. And we're going to do that by praying together as a church. So, I want you to put in your diaries Friday the 22nd of November. Okay, here it is. November the 22nd. I am calling St. John's to a day of prayer, brackets, and fasting. And we are going to start to learn what it is to be a people who experience the truth and the reality of what Jesus teaches us about prayer in this morning's passage. To be a people who pray with confidence and assurance and who see God answer. All right, so today is going to be a day of prayer. Watch the newsletter. The details of what that's going to look like is going to come out. But one thing I can tell you now is that it's going to finish with a half night of prayer. And people are like, a half night of prayer? Hang on, how long is a half a night of prayer? 4 hours. Let me just put you out of your misery. 4 hours. You're like, a four-hour prayer meeting? That's going to be agony. It's really not, trust me. I'm a vicar, trust me. All right? It will fly by. All right, I promise you. It will be incredible. But right now, just put it in your diary and know this is what we're pushing towards. Jesus has taught us a couple of times in this series about prayer. But he's taught about it in a way that goes way beyond anything we experience. And I'm saying, come on, we really need to take a hold of this and make it the reality of our experience. So I'm going to pray for us. All right, put 22nd of November in your diary. I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to stand and sing a couple of songs together. All right, Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that you haven't just kind of called us together to be a church and then just left us to think, oh, what does that mean? What are we here to do? What's this all about? You've told us, through the teaching of Jesus, what you want church to be. What you want it to be for us, what you want it to be for our community, what you want it to be for the world. And Lord, we fall so far short of that so many times. And for that, we're sorry. But Father, we come and we want to hear what Jesus says about prayer. And we want to ask you that you would teach us and that you would lead us into a way of being church that resonates far more with what Jesus teaches than perhaps anything we've ever experienced before. And Lord, we stand on the cusp of this. We don't really know what this is going to be like. We don't know what this is going to mean for us. But you're a good God. You are a good, loving Heavenly Father. So we trust you to take us by the hand and to lead us into something new. So Father, we commit ourselves to you as we set out on this journey. As we continue to listen to what Jesus wants us to be as people, as a church, and as we continue to wrestle with making that the reality of our experience, we look to you to guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name. Amen.